3:18 is the time, and this is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors with Blaine Bishop, Jonathan Schaefer. I'm Kevin Ingram. Mark's out this week. We bring in from Front Office Sports, talk a little about the business of sports and media, Michael McCarthy. Michael, what's going on this morning?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. You know, we were talking about the NASCAR race being back on Sunday, and it was a little strange, but Michael, at the same time, it was familiar. What stood out to you about the way it was presented and where NASCAR goes from here and other sports paying attention?
I was actually pleased so much to see sports come back, and I actually think that NASCAR, along with golf and tennis, is a sport that lends itself to that kind of production. You know, it's a kind of a production where you can get in intimate, close up. You don't need those huge crowd shots like you do in the NFL or college football. So I think the sport lends itself to that kind of up close and personal production.
How optimistic are you that baseball and its players, players and owners in MLB, will get a deal done to have a season, or at least part of a season this year?
As time goes on, I'm getting more and more optimistic, and I just think there's just too much money involved. I mean, they're talking about sports potentially losing $12 billion. The NFL could lose 40% of its revenue if there's no game. There's just too many reasons right now to get sports back, do all the social distancing, do the guidelines, but get this industry going again.
What kind of opportunity is this for baseball's players to get some future considerations out of this deal that they might make?
Well, baseball players are literally the most self-destructive lot I've ever seen in professional sports. And then here they are again, arguing over nickels and dimes when, people are dying or people are getting sick. I mean, I think, there is an opportunity for them to get some leverage, but it's now the time to do it. Now is the time to try to, get together with the owners and get a piece of a season out there.
Michael McCarthy, our guest from Front Office Sports. One more for me, on the media side of things, it's not the best time to be looking for a job. What about a guy like Skip Bayless with his Fox contract, coming up and where he might go from there and some others that stand out?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, now is literally the worst time in TV history to have your contract up for grabs. The TV networks are losing billions and billions of dollars in ad sales. There's no live sports. And then, your contract comes up. I mean, Fox is really going to have a tough decision here. Do they want to keep paying Skip Bayless $6 million a year? Maybe. But, the kind of big payday that maybe Skip was expecting, Stephen A-like or Tony Romo-like, I don't see that materializing at all.
Blaine?
Yes, Mike, thanks for coming on. I guess first and foremost, let's kind of preview the Last Dance. I don't think you guys touched on that, but what were your thoughts on the last couple of episodes?
I thought it was outstanding television, wonderful storytelling. It was a reminder, particularly for those of us of a certain age, how charismatic and how powerful presence Michael Jordan was. And frankly, I think it was one of the best things ESPN has ever done. I mean, if you want to be Ken Burns and all these documentaries, you're going to tut-tut and wag your finger because Michael had editorial control. Give me a break. It was great TV.
Oh, man, it was awesome. What about him saying at the end there that he'd love, and that's MJ, he'd love to have one more shot at putting the band back together and go for 7. Do you think that was a possibility, or you think that was a little far-fetched and that's just him being a competitor?
I think it was a possibility. I mean, you can't replace rings. I mean, I was watching Jalen Rose talking about this exact subject this morning on ESPN Get Up, and he's like, I'd do anything but one ring, never mind 6. So, I mean, I think at the time, I think if Phil Jackson had decided to come back, maybe Scotty would have changed his mind. But here's an interesting thing that's really come out of the Last Dance that I learned, and I think a lot of people learned, is how much of a role Phil Jackson had in breaking up the Bulls. He was the one who said he wouldn't come back. So when, he said he wouldn't come back, that, led to a domino effect. So I really think we learned a lot from this documentary.
Well, I learned a whole heck of a lot, and I didn't realize pizza was going to be part of this document, I guess, of The Last Dance. Were you shocked? I was surprised because I thought he had the flu, but maybe more people knew about, the pizza poisoning and everything else, bad pizza, whatever you want to call it. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. It was another great story. And then sure enough, you know, the media being the media, you know, they track down the Pizza Hut guy 25 years later, and, you know, he says the story is a complete lie, you know what I mean? And his pizza was perfect. So it's like, who do you believe at this point? You know, it's like a game of telephone. Everybody has a different version of the same conversation. But again, it was terrific. It was the little details like that. Just watching Michael's reactions when the director, Jason Hare, would, you know, hand him the iPad and say, here's Isaiah saying this, or here's so-and-so saying that. That was just great TV, just watching his reactions. I mean, Michael was hilarious.
Well, yeah, he was hilarious in his reactions there. But what about Horace Grant's reaction in saying that MJ was lying half the time, and it's the documentary of The Last Dance was skewed towards only his view?
Well, you know, who pays the piper, you know, plays the tune. You know, this was always Michael's project. His fingerprints are on it. He owns it. And inevitably, somebody was going to come out of this looking like the bad guy. And it turned out to be Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen. But, you know, even Horace Grant can't complain as much as, you know, Jerry Krause. I mean, Jerry Krause is just portrayed as the ultimate, you know, mustache-twilling villain in this, you know, who's substituting his own ego and his own judgment for the sake of a dynasty. I mean, he comes out the worst by far, you know, rest in peace, Jerry. But, I mean, Horace, you know, comes out as a guy, you know, who maybe talked to reporters. I mean, who hasn't? Like, Michael hasn't talked to reporters? Come on.
Man, I really thought lastly on The Last Dance that Pippen looked bad in this one moment when he said he wouldn't change his decision not to go back in the game when they gave Tony Kukoc the call to take the last shot and they called the play for him. Man, what did you think about that?
That was a terrible decision, you know, because you've had 25 years to think about it, 25 years. And now all you have to do is say the right thing on camera. Yeah, I was upset. You know, it was a spur of the moment thing. I'm a competitor. I wanted the ball. And, you know, and he wouldn't do it, and he couldn't do it. And it just shows you, I think, how much resentment Pippen had towards that organization all along, the way he taunted Jerry Krause, the way he sat out that shot. I mean, this is a guy who really felt he was done wrong. And, you know, money-wise, he sure was. I mean, he never made anything compared to what Jordan was making, and it obviously really angered him.
From Front Office Sports, Michael McCarthy is our guest. A little more on some sports leagues coming back. Do you think hockey's plan for having potentially two cities with 12 teams in each place going right into the playoffs, is that something that could work? What do you think the NBA is thinking about?
I do think that plan could work. I mean, one of the things we've learned about the coronavirus is it's hitting different parts of the country very differently. I'm up in the New York area, which is the epicenter of the coronavirus. But there's large swaths of the country that have almost no cases or very few cases, and the cases that they've had, you know, are kind of falling. So I think you do whatever you can to bring sports back. I mean, I think we need to get this whole entire country moving, and sports is a huge part of it. I mean, one of the reasons why we all love The Last Dance so much is it reminds us what we miss in our everyday life, which is sports.
What do you think the NBA's best course of action might be? Would it be to have everybody in one place or spread everybody out a little more? What do you think?
I say put them in Orlando or put them in Vegas. Put them in a couple of cities where, you know, the coronavirus is not so bad, where you could control the environment, where you could follow all the health and quarantine regulations and get the season going. But put them in some place where it's safe as possible, and where the NBA and the health authorities can exercise the maximum amount of control. Because the UFC showed that you can pull off an event. You know what I mean? The NBA rosters are not like MLB rosters or, you know, NFL rosters. There's not hundreds of players involved. There's a couple of dozen.
One more before I let you go. And, you know, as far as football goes, how interesting, Michael, is it going to be to see what college football does in that different parts of the country are in different stages of this reopening process?
I think college football and the NFL are really the crucible upon which everything is going to pivot. If there's no college football and there's no NFL, we're all in trouble. You know, I talk about this, people in the business, right? So many people are going to lose their jobs if there's no football. I think the NFL is a lot more likely to come back to college football for the simple reason that the college football administrators of saying, we're not going to have college football unless the kids come back to campus. I have a son who's a college student. He's a freshman in college. He still doesn't know if he's going back to campus. So until, you know, we get a sense of whether or not there's going to be football, I think people are going to be holding their breaths, because if there's no football this fall, college or the NFL, boy, this industry is going to go up in smoke.
Michael, great perspective. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you again down the road.
Thanks, guys.
All right, have a good day. For Front Office Sports, Michael McCarthy, good in talking the business of sports, and some good stuff about The Last Dance as well. 929, Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Coming up, our friend Chip Walters will join us. Tell us about something special MTSU is doing today with its football program. That's coming up next here on The Zone.